I can hear you clicking as well.
You do some clicking? I don't click during the show.
What do you mean?
Do you say I'm clicking?
I hear it.
Not right now.
I just did, like a second ago.
Yeah, but that's like before the show starts.
So once it starts, no more clicking?
Well, limited. You don't hear a lot of, during the, like I'm searching for like, you know, used cars on some separate window. Updating my fantasy NBA pool.
Okay. All right. So you're saying your level of professionalism is higher than mine.
I think everyone's saying that. Hello and welcome to episode 444 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
In the five. What's going on, Adam? What's going on in the five?
I don't know. It's good. It's early for me, so I just woke up, so I'm not sure yet what's
Sunday
on.
Morning.
Yeah, that's right. Sunday morning.
7:30, a little early for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, for me it is, yeah.
Not crazy, really? You sleep in Sunday mornings?
I'm an 8 a.m. weekend guy. If I can, sometimes I can't sleep and I'm up at 5:30, but if I can, I want to sleep till 8.
Riveting.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here.
Have we talked about sleep before?
Probably.
Okay, break it off into 90-minute segments.
Okay.
Like, right. like definitely don't wake up every 90 minutes. But I'm saying is sleep 7.5 or 9 hours or 6 hours. Don't sleep 8 hours. It's gonna kill you.
Okay, good to hear.
Yeah, 100%. This is backed by science. I've been doing this for years. I generally sleep 6 hours a night with a 20-minute nap in the afternoon, and that's all you need.
And you're still alive. You've made it to whatever you are, 45?
31.
Okay, wow. You're spry.
I don't count a lot of the years, so that's why, hence the 31.
Okay.
So there you go. 90-minute segments. Your life will be, I just improved your life, by at least 200%.
Okay.
All right. We'll go into that a different time. We got a packed show, man. A lot of listener submissions this month.
Okay.
Not sure why. Is it the topic or the fact that we're technically recording a week late? So... Maybe.
That end, I think people have been just inspired by my general photography the last few weeks. So,
no question, that is without challenge. Yeah, Amazon. I bought something on Amazon this week.
Okay,
are you ready? This is riveting stuff.
All right,
new swim goggles. My other ones just broke. That's what happened. Eventually, so it turns out, like, over time in the chlorinated water, they're going to break down. That's what's going to happen. Just, hey, roll with it. Okay?
Yeah. I think I bought something too, so.
So they broke.
Oh, we're going to get the whole story on it.
Yeah, no, I replaced them. I bought the exact same goggles because I liked them. They lasted like 4 years. They're fantastic. I really like them. They just broke, and that's fine. I don't mind. How long should goggles last, right?
Yeah.
So about the same ones that the made by Arena, the triathlon model, even though I don't run triathlons, but I do swim for a long period of time, and I don't want the racing ones because they're not very comfortable. They are aerodynamic, hydrodynamic, I'm sure, is the term.
Okay.
But they're not very comfortable, and they don't really hold the water out for very long. They're designed for swimming like 100 meters really quickly, and I don't do that. So I bought the triathlon ones, love them. However, here's the part that baffled me.
Oh, this is what we were waiting for. Okay.
They came with instructions, the goggles did.
Okay.
Now that baffled me. Like, are you, if you need instructions on how to use goggles, you're probably in danger of drowning.
Okay.
No?
Maybe it's like a legal thing. Maybe they have to.
How about put them on your face?
Yeah.
The end.
Okay.
Is that the All instructions? Right. I didn't read them. I couldn't. I just threw them in the garbage. And I'm assuming there's nothing in there.
Uh-oh.
All right.
You could have missed something.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I could be in horrible danger next time I use them.
There's probably an online instruction manual.
Yeah. I guess when it comes to goggles, you got to RTFM. That's really the bottom line.
Right. Hey, do you want to hear what I bought?
Well, I'll give you the same amount of enthusiasm when you tell me, so go.
Mine's a little bit more camera photography related. I bought a couple of off-branded spare batteries for my video camera. And it came with a little charger. I want to say it was the charger and two batteries for $50, something like that. Yeah. Oh.
Hang on. Okay, good. No, I was just checking.
But wait. There was something else to that story.
No, I don't think there was.
Okay, all right.
Was there an instruction manual?
Maybe. I didn't look at it either.
If not, I'll send you my one from my goggles. Maybe that'll help.
But basically, the idea is that the camera battery lasts about 2 hours.
Right.
So, and I leave the LCD open and I'm basically filming the entirety of baseball games. Like, I'm just leaving it run, hoping that, you know, if there's three or four good highlights within the game, I can pull them and they'll all be part of kind of my year-end video / slideshow that I plan on making. So I just let it run. And, you know, in order to check, you know, what's going on as far as the setup of the camera, I just leave the LCD open and that burns through the battery. So it is nice to have, if the game runs a little bit long or something, it is nice to have.
Can you turn the brightness of the LCD down?
Yeah, I can. I can do that too.
That might give you an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah, it probably will. And most of the time, just the OEM battery lasts the full game. What does OEM stand for?
They were a big band in the 80s.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Yeah. What was it? That was the one that they, Orchestral Maneuver. No, that's OMD. It was a Pretty in Pink thing, right?
I don't know.
Are you writing this down?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I think it was, I'll ask Molly Ringwald next time I see her at the beer garden. She hangs out at the beer garden here all the time for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I was going to get into something else about, you know, the greatest part, like the best part about what you're doing. Like back in the day, you wouldn't do what you're doing. You wouldn't just let it roll because you had tape and then you had to then capture that tape, which was real time. You'd have to basically 2 hours recording was two hours plus actually of capture of, so you have to capture all that footage and then go through and scrub through it and pick out your four plays. Right.
Right.
Now you can just drag it over. It copies over. I'm guessing 2 hours takes about a minute to copy over.
Yeah, not even, but something yeah. So, like that, yeah.
Wow, does that? And then you can scrub through it and just pick out what you want. And plus, no dropouts. So back in the day, you get like a little bit of dust, even on digital tape. You'd get a little bit of dust here and there on the playback head in the device, either camera or deck that you would use. And you'd get a little dropout, and like meaning like the picture would screw up for a bit, or the sound might go, and so you'd have to try to recapture that piece again, and then hopefully it would capture, you know, without the dust that time. Maybe the dust moved, maybe it didn't, and you'd have to go through and recapture it over and over. And God, that was more time consuming than listening to this little story I'm telling you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, not more. Probably a tie.
Okay.
But good Lord, was it a problem. It was just so tedious. So you're recording too much stuff at a very good time, is what I'm telling you.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's good. The other thing, too, is I don't even have to, the way it works when I import it, I'm just using iMovie off the new computer.
Right.
And when, you know, I basically import the media, the disc, it splits it up into a whole bunch of segments. Even if I make one long recording, it splits it up into, I don't know, like let's say 5 minute intervals. And then I can just quickly scrub through those and just import the ones where I basically have anything that I need. So that helps too. I don't have to import the entire thing to my hard disk and then delete afterwards. I can just, I want these 8 minutes and import it that way, which is pretty sweet.
I have not used iMovie in many moons. I messed around with it a little bit just out of curiosity a long time ago, but you may want to consider upgrading to a much better program for almost no money.
This does everything I need very simply, though. I'm quite comfortable. There's nothing that I'm looking at going, I really need to be able to do that, and I can't do it. just for my needs. I'm not making feature films here. I'm making fun, like a fun little sort of movie training gameplay, some music, maybe a few like graphics, maybe a countdown. That's it.
Does it do Star Wipe?
Yeah.
If he doesn't do Star Wipe, you gotta upgrade to that.
Okay, I'll check.
Star Wipe. That's so the pros do it.
Okay, all right, I'll do that.
Scorsese loves the Star Wipe. Untrue. All right, baseball update for you.
Okay.
I want to hear yours too. I want to hear what's going on with your son. But we played yesterday. Remember last we talked, we had a little heartbreak loss. We're coming back, and then the rains opened up, and so now we ended up losing that game.
Okay, yeah.
You don't remember, but
I do. I remember the picture of the dugout with all the flooding.
Right. There you go. So yeah, we had some flooding. So we were a little bit choked because, you know, that put our record at 8-2, and we kind of wanted to be 10-0 at that point, obviously, and so it was 9-1, I guess, realistically, having lost the game a couple weeks prior. But so yeah, we were a little bit upset, and as I said to the guys, going into our games yesterday, playing a different team. I will admit that it is a weaker team. They don't have quite the manpower we have and whatnot. But I said, hey, look, it's not their fault we lost that, but I'm still angry. So how about we just beat the crap out of them for two games? So we did, turns out.
Wow.
Combined, we played two games. Both of them got shortened due to the run spread rule, the mercy rule. So we played 7 innings and 5 innings, so 12 innings. And how many runs did we score collectively? Like just us in both games.
In 12, how many innings did you say? 12?
12 innings, yeah.
I'm going to say 45.
43 was the answer. Good guess.
Oh, wow. I'm good.
Yeah, we won 22-3 and 21-4. And that wasn't even pouring it on. That wasn't like taking extra bases. That's once you get to a certain point. You play what's called station to station, meaning like, you know, you don't score guys from first base on a double in the gap. You stay at third, like little thing. The pass ball, you obviously go, but you don't be stealing bases. You're not pushing.
Okay.
But if you hit, you still have to score. You can't just stop. And so, so we ended up doing that. So had a big cakewalk yesterday. And again, the team, we had overmatched them, to be fair. We kind of knew going in that we were favorites in this series. But as can happen, you don't get to control your opponents, but oftentimes a lesser team will play down to their opponent's level, and we did not. We had a long talk about that. So none of the guys are listening. Maybe a few of them are. Actually, a couple of them listen to the show, and I'm very, very proud of the hustle our guys showed, even in the very last inning when we're up like 19 runs. Guys are still sprinting on and off the field in between innings and guys getting walked and hustling down to first base. And so that was good to see.
Good.
And your son, I want to hear some updates on your son's baseball.
Oh, he's doing very well. He seems to be getting more confident with every game. So they started their league games. So we've played, we played three league games. We won the first in a walk-off, which was super exciting in the bottom of the sixth inning. We play six inning games here, and the kid hit a single. It scored a guy from second. That was pretty exciting for our first game of the season, and the kids were pretty hyped about that. So that was awesome. And then we played the best two teams in the province back to back, and we were close in both. We lost by two runs in the first one, couple of mistakes that we made, which could have been the difference for sure. And then yesterday we played the team that won the provincials last year. I think they lost one game all of last year, and it was in a tournament, but they won the provincial title, and we played an extremely tight game with them yesterday and ended up losing 2-1. We only had four hits in the game, and Jack was 1-for-1 because he bats near the bottom of the order. Our order only got up 1.5 times. So that's how
right.
The pitching was extraordinary. They struck out the first 8 of 9 guys. We
went man.
9 up, 9 down in the first 3 innings, and Jack didn't bat till the fourth. And then the 10, 11, 12 hitters all got hits. And,
nice.
So that was pretty exciting. And so we were very close again, one kind of, you know, lucky play here or tough call there. Like that, the game was so, so close, but the pitching on both sides was extraordinary. I don't think they allowed a walk, maybe one. And I think we might've allowed no walks. I'm pretty sure we didn't walk anybody. The pitching was just so, so good. That was fun to see. And again, that's what we knew about that team was that, their pitching was extraordinary and very, very deep. Just one guy after another that they could throw that, it was awesome. And the kids on their team, like our guys are, you know, they look like 11-year-olds. Their first six batters right. looked like they were 16. Like they were so big. They were so, so big. It's kind of like the farm boys, you know, just they grow them big. This was, the team we were playing was Abbotsford, which is kind of
okay.
out in the country. And, they were some big, big country boys on this team, but really, really fun game to play. And so today we play again, a little bit of a weaker team. So today, hopefully we win today, but we did play the best two teams and, we're close with both. So our team is good. Jack's playing well, I think because again, he's batting near the bottom of the order. He's only had, 5 at bats in league play and he's 3 for 5. So he's doing very nice. Well as a lower in the order hitter.
And well, doing quite well. I mean, he's a year younger than everybody else.
Yeah. And he's been making plays in the field. Yesterday, he had two deep flies that they hit. He played left field and caught one deep in left, and then he caught another one in right, and then he plays third. He made a nice play from third on a hard grounder that he threw a strike to first base. So he's doing all the things that you would like him to do. He's making his plays mm-hmm. and he's getting on base. So no, he's very, very happy. I think it's been a very, very good experience so far. So
nice, and I'm glad he's so excited.
Yeah, he's loving it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Just to go back to my game yesterday, my day at the plate, I had a couple hits, but they walked me 3 times and then got tired of walking me, so they pinned me 3 times.
Oh.
So yeah, six times on base. They had 3 hit by pitches in one day.
Wow.
Thanks, guys. Hey, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Just walk me. That's fine. I would take the 6 walks, but so there you go. So your game, there was no walks.
Yeah. Our game was over like 6 innings. Our game was like 1 hour and 7 minutes. I've never seen a kid's game go that fast. But when both pitchers are just mowing them down, and there's hardly any base runners.
How's the mid inning hustle with your kids?
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. They're on and off. Well, that's partly how the game goes so fast. Both teams. There's not a lot of in between. The pitchers take a few pitches, and then boom, game mm-hmm. starts again. It's very fun to watch. So. Yes, I was kind of sad they didn't play 3 more innings. I think everyone was. It was just so good, and just wanted to see it keep going.
Nice.
Yeah.
Had my daughter's birthday party this week. So she had her birthday like last week, but then the first day we could have her kid's birthday party was this week here.
Okay.
So we went to the Frybot. She always wanted to have her birthday at the outdoor pool, and so I was kind of dreading that, like taking 7, 8-year-old girls to the pool. Turns out it was the easiest birthday party we've ever had.
Wow, they just occupied each other.
Pretty much. And I think, as far as I could tell, they could all swim. I wasn't sure, but we left with 7, so it worked out. We came with 7, left with 7. But yeah, so they had a lot of fun. That's really not much, it's just more of a surprise, the reason I'm telling the story. Even snapped a few photos, which I'm not sharing. But meanwhile, I did not follow my own advice from 2 weeks ago about how to be ready for a photo.
You missed something.
I missed it. It's nothing big. It was just a very simple snapshot. We had some friends in town with their 2 daughters, and our kids were out in the backyard kind of a nice summer evening at a barbecue, and they're just kind of all 4 together. And I went, oh, I'll grab a quick shot before the moment disappears, which it will. So I grabbed the X100 and ran out and snapped a photo and didn't even look at it. I was like, got it. Don't worry about it. Check it later. And I did not realize I had left the ISO at 100, which even at an F2.8 meant the shutter speed was at around 1/25th of a second in the evening.
Right.
So it's fine. I held the camera steady, but the kids were moving a little bit, so it's just a little bit blurry, and it's just kind of a, meh. So I just missed it by not being ready. Bitten by my own snake, man.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I don't know how your Canada Day went. I know you were at the ballpark, but mine was a bit of a tragedy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, broke. I broke my Molson Canadian glass.
Oh no!
So I posted a picture. I snapped a photo of it.
Okay.
And yeah, have had that around the house for probably eight plus years. Brought it from Canada with me, and yeah.
But what do what do you do now?
Well, my wife is really sorry that she broke it. It was actually her. My wife actually broke it, but. You don't do anything about it. You just say, you know what? It's just a thing. It's not going in the Smithsonian. So you throw it out and move on with your life. That's what you do.
Did you chill the glass for the photo?
No, it's a frosted glass.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all part of it. No, this was the next day, actually. I just left it out there and just, I'll snap a photo the next morning. But, took a picture with the German beer because I don't drink the Canadian beer here, obviously. But yeah, so sad day, but you know what? She went out on Canada Day, so it's pretty fitting. So I'm okay with it.
Okay, good.
All right. A little schedule update for everybody listening. The plan moving forward is Adam and I are kind of forced to shift into summer mode coming up here. We got vacation. You got baseball with the kids. So schedule is pretty tight here. So we're going to actually shorten the episodes a little bit rather than skip a week. The option would have to be we'd probably skip every other week. We don't want to do that. I like having the show come out every Monday. So that means we're going to be shooting for 30-minute episodes for the rest of the summer.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to you, I know.
Yeah.
You're thrilled. You're like 30. Can we stretch it out to 11 minutes?
11 minutes, and then we can record three then.
Then we could do three. So, yeah, I think starting next week, we're going to do a stretch of 30-minute episodes just to accommodate our summer schedules. There you go. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just lots of baseball.
So, okay, we talked about that last week. Yeah, I also shot a little bit of baseball.
Exciting. Yeah.
I shot I will say a team photo, but it's actually an organization photo. I wanted to get a photo of our entire Tubing and Hawks organization. We have like 9 different teams that play under that umbrella from every age group, from basically 5 all the way up to however old our oldest is on the mixed team. And I'm actually not the oldest one in this picture, but so we actually have 108 active members. And I said, I would like to get a picture, especially this week, because next week we have a big giant party in Tubingen. Then we have a booth where we sell beer and hot dogs and stuff. And I wanted to have a big photo of our whole organization, everybody wearing the same uniform for the first time in the history of ever. And so I said, okay, everyone come on out. We ended up falling a little bit short, only had 52 of the 108 people.
Okay.
I wasn't happy with that. However, this is what I shot, so I want to talk a little bit about it, get some feedback from you. First of all, very challenging. First of all, this many people, like 52 people, it's tough to organize, and where do you place people and whatnot, and how do you do it quickly? And also, it's challenging because I'm in the photo. That's never, that doesn't make anything easier.
Correct.
Okay, just asking your opinion on that one.
Yeah.
Also, the light, there's some light clouds, and so there's like the light was fluctuating a little bit. I did have a couple flashes to fill in some shadows, even though we're kind of somewhat three-quarter facing the sun. This is taken at about 6 p.m. in the evening. That's what p.m. means, and so it was okay light placement, like sun placement, but not perfect. But I wanted to try to keep the frame everybody with our backstop and try to keep everybody there. So it's kind of forced into that hand. So what do you think?
It's pretty good.
Specifically.
Oh, it's just the good, even exposure. It's hard to do a group photo, especially with so many people, like you said, time of day wise, and have, you know, nobody's face is really in shadow. So that they're wearing ball caps. Like, it's a challenging situation. So no, I think you did really well. And it looks pretty, like in these kind of big group photos, because unless you're looking at it on a, you know, huge poster size image of it, really what you see looking at it, I'm looking at it on the iPad right now, is whether or not it looks symmetrical. So the big group photo, that's the one thing you notice, and it looks very symmetrical to me in terms of how you've aligned such a large group. So that's good. Like, it looks symmetrical. The colors look good. Nobody's got crazy dark shadows on their faces. I don't know what more you can do for a group photo like this.
Okay, can you hang on one sec, dude? Hang on.
Hey, Emily, it's me to house. Okay, feeling dark. Cheers.
Okay, do I edit that out? No, I think we leave that in.
No, she agrees. Very symmetrical.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, just I was trying to wave her off. She's here dropping off a birthday invite for my daughter. And I was like, yeah, I'm the only one home. Go away. Leave it. She was having none of it. She needed some interaction time.
Right.
Here we are. All right, everybody. The symmetry was difficult. I mean, it's not perfect, obviously, but I'm also trying to keep the different teams somewhat together. So you look on the back row, everyone there is on the first team. That's on our top baseball team. But then there's end up being a couple guys sprinkled in the row in front who are also on that team. And then, you know, we have a very limited number of the softball girls, which are only five, even though they have like 15 people on the team, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to keep them together, and they're in the middle and all that. And then our mixed softball team, it's more of a fun league, and so they're the only team that doesn't wear baseball pants in our group, and so they're kind of bracketing the whole thing. So there's that, and then so here I am standing up there. I've shot this with the X100 using my iPhone as the remote, which is very, very handy in this situation. So I can quickly look down, see what I'm seeing, hit the 2-second timer, put the iPhone behind my back, and get the photo. The other big challenge was I showed up at the park, and we have a ton of benches. Like, obviously, we have beer benches because we're in Germany. So we have a bunch of those that we use for our beer garden, etc. They were all being loaned out to somebody who was having a party at the field. They're having a party at the field, though.
Nice.
So out in center field, there's a bunch of people having a barbecue, and we basically had to go over and say, hey, can we borrow the benches that we rented to you for 10 minutes? And so we did. So there's three benches up front, and then there's one big bench in the back that everyone's standing on. So that's why we have the three layers. We have the standers on the bench, we have people standing on the ground, sitting on the bench, and then in front. And you see my son right there in front. He's very excited to be in this photo, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, I do eventually want to retake this with all 108 people. How do I get 56 more people in this shot?
Yeah, you're going to need like some bleachers or something.
Well, we have bleachers in behind that we could move, but I don't know how good that would look if everyone's sitting on bleachers or...
No, they could be standing on bleachers, and the bleachers for the most part would be covered.
Possibly. It is interesting. We could consider that. I don't know that they're wide enough. We might... Yeah, you know what? I think you may have solved it. I think we have two sets of bleachers that we could put together and have everybody stand on them and potentially cover it. But what I do like about this is the density of everybody, like shoulder to shoulder. The maroon jerseys kind of really dominate the frame.
Yeah, that looks good.
So, okay, again, not looking forward to it. I'd rather do it when I'm not on the team. Much easier to do.
Right.
And actually, in all this, in this shot, there's only one face replace that I had to do.
Wow, that's
so
good.
So the kid standing directly in front of me was actually looking down at the ground for some reason. Everybody else looking at the camera. Some people squinting because the sun was there, and a couple people really react quickly to the flash going because I had two separate flashes going on full power, just enough to fill in those shadows. And a couple people reacted very quickly, like they're blinking in every single shot. But other than that, it's just the one face replace and off and running. All right. On to the monthly challenge. Oh, I think that's it. Yeah, that's everything. That's all we need. On to the monthly challenge this month, for the month of June, it was black and white summer. Got a lot of submissions this month, Adam, as we mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah.
So in order to sort of make this go smoothly, that means We gotta get moving on this. 27 separate submissions.
Wow.
I think it might be 26, but there's two that I got. I'll get your opinion on. He submitted twice, a runner-up, and I like his runner-up better. So in no particular order, it just basically in order I go through and happen to see them online. Which, by the way, there's one coming up at some point that I accidentally found that I search for and I follow the Two Hosers Monthly Challenge hashtag. And this photo did not come up, but he happened to mention in a comment of another photo that he posted one on his other what do you call it, account. And so I clicked on it and found it manually, but it does not come up in the hashtag search.
Well, look at the lengths that you'll go to include.
Well, no, I say that because I'm the lengths that I go to one time. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh.
Because I'd like to find out why it doesn't come up, and I'll point out the photo in question when we get to it. And if anybody can figure out why it doesn't come up, please let us know, because I don't want to exclude anybody just because there's something hinky with the Instagram. So I assure you it's not us. I search both hashtags, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge and Hey Hosers, and collect all the ones that are relevant, meaning that were posted that month. And if I miss it, I promise you it's not my doing, but we would like to correct it. So if anybody can help, please let us know. All right, first up, in no particular order, we have Bob Bernal Jr., who submits every month, by the way.
Yeah,
he's one of a few people who does.
Consistent.
So why don't you start? This is a surfer.
Yeah, I like it. It's really, really good.
Is it a black and white photo, though? I mean, it is black and white, but should it be black and white?
It works in black and white. I don't know that it needs to be, but I like the contrast here, just based on the surfer who's in a all black wetsuit, I'm guessing, or blue or something to that effect. And then, you know, he's right in the middle of the white water, which just really makes it pop. And then you've got the rocks behind him that are dark. You've got the water on either side that's dark. And so it really just kind of focuses your attention there. So it is a photo that works very well in black and white.
Indeed. That's exactly what I felt like him getting him placed directly in that sort of white V really makes this pop. And black and white, as we're going to discover, black and white in the summertime is all about colors. So being able to convey what's going on in the summer, you know, in just black and white is not easy. And I think this is a great job of doing that. I also urge you to check out the rest of Bob's feed. He had a bunch of, if I recall, a bunch of really cool surfing shots as well that were also in color, though, that were really popped.
Okay.
All right, next up is Papasan Jr., whom you know, evidently.
I do?
Yeah, you should read through. You shot a photo of him and his children at Spanish Banks a couple years back.
Oh, wow.
You remember the incident?
Yeah, I totally remember.
Okay. So this is his shot at the Calgary Public Library.
It's very cool. I like it a lot.
What is cool? I don't know if it screams summer to me, but it's probably taken in the summer. It's Calgary, so that must be summer. Or a Chinook's coming through. Either way, very cool photo. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of great lines going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The obviously in the foreground with the shadows, but also the lines of the window frames, which are a great asymmetrical. From what I can tell here, maybe they form a shape if you back up a little bit, but there's that kind of amazing asymmetry that just looks fantastic, and the exposure difference, you know, between the foreground and the background is very compressed, which I'm gonna assume is probably done shot with raw and then shadows brought up a little bit to match, so not easy to do, but looks really good.
Yeah, and the clouds and. Even just, you know, the way the buildings, you know, in the background are framed by the foreground architecture is super cool looking photo. Mm-hmm. So I never take this photo. I don't, in real life, I don't see this and think, oh, I'm going to take a photo of it. But when others do, then I think, oh, yeah, this is a very cool looking photo. And I wish I wish I took more of these.
Yeah, and also very easy to shoot this at f/2.8 and blur that background outside, and that would be a mistake because I think it works very well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, next up is DMAC 14609, which I'm guessing was his locker combination in high school.
Could be, yeah.
Nah, it was also mine, ironically.
Wow.
So it's called Flowery Explosion.
I like this as well.
It's like a flower version of fireworks.
Sure, yeah.
Or there's a Vancouver connection here. This could be the Space Center. Ooh. Science World.
Yeah, Science World. Yeah, yeah. It does. It has that shape.
So DMAC, I don't know where the Webster Arboretum is. But if you're not familiar with Vancouver, you should check out the Science World. I'm sure you Google, you got like a million pictures of that. Looks just like that.
Yeah. Good job, though. It is a nice looking photo.
Does look cool. Good choice of depth of field. I don't know if he needed the rest of it in focus. That kind of would have been, you know, too much. I mean, a lot of the shapes would just kind of blend into each other. So I think it's a great, I mean, this is probably, I'm not sure he mentions it, but this looks like probably shot on the D7100, which he says, probably a 50 mil lens at an F2 looks like, or it could be zoomed in, hard to say, but good choice of depth of field regardless. All right, next up, this is Dave J. Crystal from Chilliwack, British Columbia. You're out there today, aren't you?
Oh, they're coming to us, but we are playing Chilliwack today.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. Playing the whack.
Yeah.
So, Dave, if you have a son or daughter, do girls play in the league?
There probably is one or two. I've yet to notice, to be honest.
Okay. Well, if your son or daughter's playing, maybe you'll see Adam at the field today.
Yep, that's true.
This is a summer country sunset out in the whack.
I like this as well.
It's hard to not like any of these. I'm going to find one, though. Pang, yeah. If you're listening, Adam's going to get you.
But, yeah.
I do like this, too, because I'll be honest with you, Dave. I don't need to live in Chilliwack, but I like being in Chilliwack.
Sure. They're known for their corn.
I was wondering how long it would take you to get to the corn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you eat the corn?
I enjoy the corn very much. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a new low for podcasting.
Yeah.
Talking about your enjoyment of corn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What I like best about this is this reminds me of being out that way. I mean, out Vetter Canal, something like that. Or at the Smitty's the morning after, that kind of thing. But the I'm assuming that's a dandelion or whatever that is in the very foreground, which sort of sticks out from the rest, sort of anchors that photo. And it's a great job. This just really does a good job of explaining Chilliwack to the outsider.
And just the way the sunshine is kind of raked over all that grass and field, just it really, really kind of adds texture and it looks very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm guessing he took this off of Lickman Road.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's not a joke there. I'm just telling you, that's the name of the road out there.
Okay.
All right. Next up, Matthew Martin photo. Oh, we're back to Vancouver, back to BC here, Adam.
Wow.
Shaunigan Lake out in on Vancouver Island.
Yeah. I really like most of the things about this photo.
Mm-hmm.
It's the contrast that kills it.
Okay, the fact that it looks like he has pulled this. Like, if you're shooting black and white film, this looks like it's pulled.
Yeah. And maybe like that's just the artistic intent, but mm-hmm. I just feel like the contrast here would make this photo pop more. Like, it looks like the shadows are, like, if this was done digitally, like there's too much of the shadow slider used here.
Okay. I tend to agree with you, actually.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody. I agree with you. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit darker in the shadows in the shirt and whatnot. But,
and the and maybe the greens like of the background, like just it all kind of melts together a little too much. But the angle and the pose and the composition here is terrific. That's why I thought, oh, it's almost like it's been passed through a filter or something that kind of blended it all together, which I want the subject to really stand out here, and I want the greens to pop here, and rather than it's too gray for me.
Yeah, and that's true. Great place to be, though. I'm big fan of Vancouver Island.
Yeah, this looks amazing. Like, just to be in that spot. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next up is JC Russo from Columbia, Maryland. This sums up my flower garden this summer. All the blooms from my cone flowers were eaten, except for this one. And then, are they delicious? Is that the problem?
I think so.
Of course, the stem on this was broken when my son kicked a ball into it. One single broken flower, but still surviving. Okay, so don't feel bad about your son kicking a ball into it, because I have I would say, I wouldn't necessarily say the top, at least top two front lawns in our entire village. Like, we have a really great front lawn. Yes, however,
is this the power rankings?
There is one down the street, is much smaller, but it is actually better. But they have no kids and no kids playing on it. And there's that. So ours, but our deal is, my deal is, like I said to my wife a long time ago, because Germans not big lawn people. And so I said, well, we're having a front lawn, but my kids are playing on it. Because in the end, we're not raising grass, we're raising kids. And so, JC Russo, you should not feel bad about your son breaking this. You should be happy he's kicking a ball and not playing Fortnite.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. Totally worth it. However, this looks really cool.
It does. Yeah, I like
it. Is this a film shot? I mean, you may have tricked me. It's hard to tell on the Instagram, especially on the low-res versions that we grab. But this could very well be a film shot. If not, very, very well done replication digitally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, really like the texture. Like, feel like there's a lot of texture in the petals and also in the what's it called in the middle? The middle part of the flower, called whatever it is. Yeah.
I don't know. Stamen. What am I? Like a botanist?
I was going to say
my Pete Postlethwaite from the town.
You knew what a botanist was. I was going to say a flowerologist.
Oh, yeah. What am I? Guy Lafleur? Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll Google that after the show. No, we won't.
All right.
All right. Next up, MN Richie photo. This is the start of summer grilling. Okay. So now I got to notice. There's your corn, by the way, with some fringing a little bit around it, but I'm not going to cry about that. Mm-hmm. So does he live on the coast? Is that why the prawns, or is he importing those?
Yeah, this is a high class barbecue, and just on the, you know, relative size of the corn gives us kind of a size comparison. And those shrimp look big.
They do. Yeah. They're prawns. I'm assuming they're prawns.
Okay. It's kind of the same thing to me.
But I'm hoping this is a West Coast thing. Do you eat, like, when you're in the middle of the country on something, like on traveling or whatever you're doing, obviously you'd be traveling, you don't live there. Do you eat seafood in the middle of the country?
Not really.
Like when you're in North Battleford, you're like, you know what, let's go find some lobster.
No, I'm all about a burger. I'll have a burger anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, except London, but... too soon, 20 years later from the mad cow? Okay. So, I have this weird thing where I pretty much only eat seafood on a coast. If the coast has to be within like 30 minutes drive, or I'm skipping it.
Gotcha.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, maybe 30-minute flight now. Maybe I can assume that they can fly it in, because I do eat salmon here sometimes, and we're not on the coast. But, not too far off from the Norway spot. So it could fly in here technically, but I'm a bit of a snob like that. Like I don't eat prawns here, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering that for one, number two, and I'm wondering, MN Richie, how do you clean your grill? Are you a burn it off guy, or do you scrub it every time? What do you do, Adam? Are you a scrubber or a burner?
I do both. I usually preheat it, then I just get it to kind of charcoal, and then I have a special big wood thing I got at Costco that I scrub it off with.
So you like the wood one? That's interesting, because it was a long time wire brush, then the doctors all said stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I got one of the metal coils, which it does it's fine, but I hear everybody loves the wood ones.
Yeah, the wood ones are awesome.
All right, so I got to pick one of those up. Maybe you'll send me one next time. Maybe Christmas. Maybe it's coming at Christmas when I'm home.
Okay.
You'll get me one of those. We don't have Costco here. But I don't scrub things. I burn it all the old fat. I burn right onto the grill. So there you go. Anyway, good photo. It really does say summer to me, and just the inclusion of just the one hand, and there's denoting action here. He could have very easily taken this photo of just the grill, which would have been fine. But the fact that you've added a little personal touch to it does make a difference. Not an easy photo to make interesting. I'm not hanging it on my wall, but I'm not disinterested.
Agreed.
All right. Next up, we got Pixelscaper, who, if I remember correctly, is from the aforementioned Norway or Denmark or Sweden, one of those countries. Now it's going to be Finland after I say that. So I'm assuming he went to Playland. This is at Playland in Vancouver, right?
It looks that way. I'm sure they have other swings at other places in the world, though.
They actually have this down the street from us right now. This weekend is the traveling Happy Fun Time Land, and they have the swings. I'm not going on it, but this does look like fun.
Sure.
What is it about this photo that makes it somewhat compelling?
It's the angle.
Yes, I think you're right. Which he's probably shooting level, and they're just swinging out. Correct.
Yeah, and that's kind of what. Again, if you try to level this up, it won't look very good. So it is, you get that feeling of, I think everyone has either seen or been on one of these. So you get the feeling of how it works as they sort of swing around at an arc. So the arms out, the expressions are cool. I wish the kids were a little younger because it looks just weird.
Also, he lost his shoes, it looks like to me.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. The barefoot bandit strikes again.
Yeah.
So, so centrifugal force at work here.
There you go. That's what I was going for.
That's what I would call it. Or is it centripetal force? I forget now. One holds you in, one pushes you out.
Yeah, I can't remember which is which.
Yeah. M.N. Ritchie, when you answer my barbecue question, answer the centrifugal force too, please. All right, next up is Mike Roskopf. Now, Mike, is this Mike? I had a conversation with somebody about on the Instagram about, hey man, it's not summer all over the world. We have people in the South who South America who listen to your show, and there is no summer. So thanks a lot. To that I say, I think I talked about it last week, and I apologize. So I'm not doing it again. But you're right, very very hemisphere centric. So he is saying that he had to phone it in. And he took the photo with his phone. So it shows the photo of him and his daughter on the way to kindergarten. And the image is important for him, since these mornings are very limited because she's growing up so fast. True. And my back is hurting. Well, that's really on you, actually, the back hurting part. Adam will help you out with some exercises.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. This actually, I had no idea this was him walking to kindergarten. You could never tell this from
no,
the photo.
And I did not know that was a kid on his shoulders. I thought that was a camera.
Oh, okay. You thought maybe, oh yeah, okay.
I saw it as something else. I did not see this at all as, now I see it now that it's been explained to me. Mm-hmm. But as an onlooker, I don't think most people would piece together what's going on here. So Epic fail on your part.
Well, with the explanation, it makes a lot of, it actually hits very close to me as well, because I feel the same way. I like walking my kids to school/kindergarten, and, you know, those days are numbered. So especially with kindergarten. So, like, that's, like, literally, I think there's, you know, going to be maybe 10 more times, and that's that for kindergarten. I'll get over it.
Don't worry. Devastating, man.
Yeah, it's not devastating, but, it did make me think.
Okay.
Next up, we got and some good shapes and lines in this, but overall, it's hard for me to comment on a personal photo because this will, like he said, it means a lot to him, and difficult to put that together without the background info.
Right.
Link shoots up at, obviously, Lily Lake. I think we all knew that in California. Use SquareFit app to prevent, I don't know what that is. I just crop my own photos so that Instagram doesn't mess it up, which they do. What do you think of this shot?
I like this a lot.
I'd like to be there.
Yeah. And sort of like my earlier comment when I was talking about, you know, the shadows being pulled too much, this is kind of where I like it. Like, there's a nice contrast between the trees and the mountains. There's lots of detail, but you've got darks and lights at either end of the spectrum here. The boat really stands out from its surroundings. Just this is exposure wise, just right where I like it for black and white. So again, well done. I like this.
Yep. Very easy to instinct to take this photo in the horizontal, like landscape mode. But to shoot this up and down the portrait is a good call. It looks really good. All right. Next up is the Earl of Grad. A couple of brothers fishing while on vacation in Colorado. Also hard to cry about this photo. I mean, look what's going on. Look at the pride in that kid's face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very good. My only thing here, and again, maybe this is an Instagram thing, is where the crop is very weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would crop this just at the water's edge so that you don't have that top, I don't know what you want to call it, 1/6 of the image that's just doesn't fit with the rest of it. And it sort of distracts from what the subject here is, which is the kids. I'd have the kids be a little bit larger in the frame. I'd get rid of that. Anything that wasn't water, I think you can figure out what's going on here without that top part of the image. But other than that, really like it.
I think you're right. I would like to see a little more of the kids. Maybe it could be an Instagram thing where he doesn't feel like posting close-ups of his kids or nephew or grandkids or whomever.
Right.
Maybe that could be part of it, and you kind of want to stay back a little bit. It does look really cool, though. I love the little moment here. I would consider probably messing around with the black and white mix with the blues and the greens and what kind of sort of filters you'd have, because it looks like there could be like a bit of a red filter judging by the kid's face with the light on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go with the green, you might get a little bit darker tones in the face or some mixture in between. You might get a better, or it might look worse, and maybe this was the one that looks great and I'm wrong.
Okay.
Possible. All right, next up is R. Coakley 61. This is Footprints in the Sand.
Yeah, this doesn't really work for me as far as the contrast here. Again, it's just there isn't any. And so I get that it's sand. I feel like there is a way to make this pop a lot more because it just looks washed out.
I tend to agree. Yeah, it... maybe we need to see the little edge of the... I mean, we do see that little broken seashell there. I feel like generally with a photo, you don't need a title. And I'm trying to do that on my own personal Instagram account, which I basically just post for friends back home to see what's going on with my kids. I try more and more to just post pictures and not write down, hey, here's what you should be looking at. You know, I want you to look at the photo and go, oh yeah, well, that's clearly that, you know? And so this is one, this, and again, with the one going to kindergarten, they both kind of require, I guess you could sort of piece together this was sand, but it doesn't pop out like it should. Maybe there should be a little bit of water creeping in on the left-hand side of the tide coming in or something like that. Or a little contrast like you're describing.
Right.
Yeah. Not terrible, but also not terrible. That's what Adam is saying.
Right.
All right. Next up is your mentor, Frank Pang, 97.
I'm a little disappointed this week because I haven't looked at any of these photos in advance. So I'm just kind of swiping through as we're doing this in real time. And I swiped from the last one to this one and I thought, oh my, I love this photo. And this looks so familiar to me. And then I saw it. It's by the Panger. And this is very, very close to home for me. And so really, really well done. And all the things we've been talking about, the contrast here is terrific, and the the couple in the foreground that are there, but you know, there's a little bit of obstruction there, which I think makes it even better. Like this is terrific. So I think I'm going to say best all time Frank Pang photo here, as far as entrance on the two hosers photo challenge.
Wow. There you go. That's high praise indeed. Now I'm trying to place, like, this is Steveston obviously, but
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Where is that wharf on the left side? Where does that?
I'm not sure, but okay, there is a wharf that goes on the other side. Like this is further down, I think towards
Gary Point.
Yeah. Towards Gary Point. And there is that long, so this is, you know, the little, whatever the harbor is to the camera left. But I never come over here. So, but I think that's where this is.
I thought for a second this was out in front of like the cannery, the old cannery, and then to the left, basically to on the other side of the wharf would be like Pajos or something like
that. Yeah, that's what I think this is.
Okay, so maybe that's where this is. I haven't been down there in a long time, and so I didn't quite recognize the exact location. Yeah, I do like it. I'm going to say a little bit much on the vignetting.
Okay.
Don't need it, but it doesn't ruin it.
Yeah, and I guess to me, I sort of liked it in this one. I'm not sure why, because I don't use the vignetting very often, but I often like when it is used if it adds something. And I, again, because of the couple there and the way it frames it, I might have gone a little bit less with the overall vignetting, but I do like it.
And well done with timing wise with the barges in the background there, or the tankers, whatever they're called, those transport ships.
Yeah.
Well timed with them coming and going. It's actually a pretty cool place. Like I said to everybody, if you are in that area, I highly recommend going down to Steveston. Very cool. Like to see a lot of the boats and go buy fish right on the dock. Really cool place. All right, next up is the 2-for-1 here, because this next one up is Scott Borowy. He submitted the summer, black and white summer, for kiteboarding. And he really liked it. And then he submitted his backup as well, or his alternate. But you tell me what you like better. I included both of them. Here he is kiteboarding. He said he doesn't often convert to black and white, but he liked it better. And he actually, on his site, if you go check him out on Instagram, he did post it in color. And he says this one works much better than the color version. And he is 100% right. This one is a much better photo. The other one was just kind of blah. The colors weren't there. The colors added nothing. This one much cooler. So I do like this. I like the angle. I like the angle of the kite going up there, stretching across the image like that. I would have kind of liked to have seen him get down a little bit lower to hopefully put the kite surfer above the horizon line. Can really make him stick out, but not always easy, especially on an inclined beach. Other than that, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, more or less the same as you just mentioned there. I mean, it's a little far away for me. Mm-hmm. Like this just looks like, oh, you're standing on the beach with your phone. You could take that photo, right? Like, you know, realistically you could. And again, the contrast there with the kite surfer is good. The angle is good. All those things are good. But I would also think that I'd want to be tighter with this.
Okay, so skip to the next picture of the lifeguard chair. That was his runner-up.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one either.
I like that one way better.
I do like it, but it seems to me something symmetry-wise that just does, my brain is having a hard time. Is it level? Like something doesn't seem right to me.
There's a lot going on.
I can't figure it out, but again, if it was from the reverse side and it said lifeguard or something, I don't know. It's fine.
I like it better. So I'm not saying I'm hanging this on my wall, but this looks more like from the movie Jaws.
Okay, all right.
So I like this. I happen to like the white painted wood against like a beach background. Like for me, that really sings.
Okay.
So even though it's black and white, that really pops out to me. So, all right, next up is Marion Maid, your arch nemesis.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is a skater dude coming out of hibernation. I guess they do hibernate in Ontario, but out on the coast, they're 24/7, 365, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What are your thoughts on this one?
Unfortunately, I like this one.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I do. I'm not saying I'm not hoping he gets hit by a car, but it's, you know, like right dead center, just right down Broadway.
Yeah, it is a cool perspective, and just even the texture that the street has, and you know, just the way it's framed by the dark kind of trees on either side and the road, and then the guy really pops in the middle. And also, yeah, I mean, you could take this closer, you could take this further away. I think he just chose the right distance. Like, this is really good. I like this a lot.
Yeah, same here. And what I like, just to add on to that, the depth in the background is great with the lines receding, and also enough out of focus that we keep attention on the foreground, but not too far out of focus that we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And also really cool that this is the last photo ever taken of this guy.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. He lost control and, yeah, head-on collision.
Yeah, I'm assuming that guy, yeah.
I do think that, and here's the thing. I think that when I rip on Marion, I feel like I can be unbiased and impartial because I really do like this, but I think this photo, this is a frame. Like, this is maybe not on his wall, but on some
Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That, again, it kind of has that, like, almost like a postcard sort of thing or a wall frame that you'd see in a restaurant. Like, I just, again, this is part of what I was saying when I had that photo of Jack, you know, when he was rounding third, the coming home baseball photo from a couple weeks ago. It's rare that I really like a photo of a person shot from the back like this, but when it works, it works. And this one really works. So good job, Marion.
On the flip side, Kim Kardashian, usually from
write best, your own joke best on photographed that. From the backside, right?
Write your own joke on it.
Well, right. You were mumbling, so I thought I'd finish it for you.
Yeah. Just kind of, I'll just feed that one. Let it grow. So when I go into Fergus Donuts, I would expect to see this on the wall. Most likely above the urinal. I'll be honest with you.
Actually, just a small one. Yeah, just a small urinal shot. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. All right. Next up, Robertson Photography, Pike Place Market. So he's on vacation here. So he does not live in Seattle. Evidently. I'm not writing his biography, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I like this one a lot, too. I mean, especially, obviously, there's a special place for that sign. Very, very iconic sign that you've seen many times.
Yeah.
And it means a lot down there, Pike Place Fish Market, and a really cool place to be, if not way too expensive. Pack a bag lunch is my advice to you. But I really like this. I like the time of the day. This looks like it's later in the evening, but hard to say because of the way the angle of the light. Because isn't the public market like down on the waterfront, which is west? The light should be setting behind, but maybe it's coming at an angle here. Hard to say. This looks later in the evening to me.
I agree.
Okay, what do you like about it?
I just good angle, and you know, you got light on the kids' faces and. Just based on how you got the sign that clearly stands out, and then the rest of the background that basically fades away, which you don't need anyways, and then the girls' faces pop, and what they're wearing clothes-wise really stands out from the background. So, again, very, very well done.
And a couple of 1,000-watt smiles going on, too, which I always love to see.
Yeah, never hurts.
So, this could be the cover of the photo album you make of your vacation.
Sure.
I would put this on up front. That's going to tell you everything you need to know. Nice job. All right, next up, DC Holloway. This is Black and White Summer, 5D Classic. All right, so points right there. Because you know we love the classic.
Sure, of course.
Thoughts on this one?
I'm not sure. It's a bit blown out in the background. It's, it's a cute kid. That, again, I think this is the kind of photo that I like of my own kid and maybe you like of your own kid, but for random strangers, I prefer to see, you know, them either looking up or a different, like more expression or like it's off kilter. There's a lot of different things going on here that it's a bit distracting and a little bit overwhelming to the random stranger looking at your photo.
I agree with you.
Okay.
All right. Next up, David R. Wilkinson. This is a True Brit Summer Black and White June Monthly Challenge. The RAF Falcons Parachute Display Team dropping in That's you can read the rest yourself.
Yeah,
if you want.
Cool. I really like it.
It's cool, and it's really like, first of all, okay, so this plays right into a lot of the like, things that I happen to like. One of them is I like aircraft. I like all things flying. I love parachuting. I say that like I'm doing it in the first person, but I mean, I love parachuters. I love watching it. It's really quite cool. And shooting this, getting a decent shot of people doing this is very, very difficult, even with a long lens, because parachuting, the action isn't exactly happening at a rapid pace. And so with photographing, it's difficult. So the fact that he captured this cool-looking image of the smoke, the smoke jumpers there, really well done. Does not need to be in color. Would probably be worse in color. So it looks really quite cool. All right. Next up, Amber Lee Pang.
Oh, yeah.
Two submissions. We got two Pangs in one
I was
month.
Wondering if Amber Lee would be jumping into the ring this week. But also very strong. Really, really good.
It is. It is very good. Great choice of depth of field. I'm guessing she did mess around with the sliders and the black and white, and basically chose the right filter to make the color that flower pop. I don't know what color that flower is. It could be white. It might actually be yellow. But
yeah, I was kind of thinking. I was thinking yellow, but I don't know why in my head that flower is yellow. Maybe because sunflowers are yellow, and that looks like a sunflower.
It could be. I mean, right in the middle there, that the stamen, we call that, sure. Looks really cool.
The yolk. I'm calling it
the yolk. That might be what it's called. Okay, but so overall, great composition. I love like the rule of thirds here. We don't need to see the whole flower.
No, that's, I think, part of why it looks so cool is that she didn't, could have easily done that, but it looks really good like this.
Okay, so who wins it?
This challenge is tough. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to give it a draw. I can't decide.
No, I'm going Frank, just on degree difficulty. Okay. His was a little bit more involved. That's all.
Okay. All right.
All right. Next up. So I'm going to say that his name is E. Lugo. I'm guessing that's what it is. It's something funky like that. So he submitted a bunch of them. He submitted like four. And I just chose one, what I thought was the best one. And that's not up for debate. So we're using this one. Thoughts on this photo?
Again, I like it. I like the depth here do. And just kind of like the curvature, I guess you'd call it. And very, the clouds, everything exposure wise is great. Depth of field is good, but don't, again, this is one of those Starbucks wall photos.
Yeah, no, I will definitely, if I go into the Fergus, Ontario, Fergus Donuts, I'll pee next to this one too.
Okay.
I'll have no problem doing that. And hoping it's in the bathroom. Otherwise I might be offending some people, but I do like this because I happen to have I love the beach, which I'm assuming this is the beach, or the walk to the beach over the dune. I love that sort of artistic rot, like not rot, but like the laissez-faire attitude of this kind of thing. It's not neatly trimmed. It is what it is. Those poles are, you know, in different states of being. And it kind of all blends together. Like I generally like symmetry, I like uniformity in a lot of things, but when it comes to situations like this, I prefer sort of randomness. Chaos is too much, but I'd say sort of a randomness to it has its own symmetry, and that's the most douchebag thing I've ever said, so enjoy that.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I say that on the show? Is that,
yeah,
that, to beep that out?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, I think technical term.
D-bag.
Next up,
I'd go with D-bag.
Yeah, too late. Next up, Roger Dahlman from Fairfax, Virginia. This is I didn't keep what's going on. I didn't capture the right text with his, so just let's go with this on its merit.
Okay.
You start.
I love these shots. I took a lot of these shots when my kids were a bit younger and used to love going to the water park where the big bucket would dump the water, and that's kind of what this looks like, the bucket dump. And
did you ever blow it out like this though?
No, I didn't. And but sometimes it's just the way the water, you know, if there's that much water in the frame, then it does look like this. So not intentionally, but sometimes that's what they look like, and I like it. It looks good.
No, it works. I'm saying I wish I kind of had done this. I think I probably tried to get a proper exposure every single time. And this one does look blown out, but then the darks do look very dark. Like he's ramped up the contrast, and it really works. Like this kind of this denotes a very sunny day at the water park. This is exactly what it looks like. So again, great job capturing. Like we have enough stop action to see the water being frozen. We have enough kids reacting and having fun without actually seeing any faces, which is nice.
Yeah.
So overall, great shot. Next up is B.S. Vaughn Photography, and you remember his shot of his son from a few months ago. Now this they're returning to from a church mission to honor his son, and snapped a photo outside the plane window, obviously.
Right.
I guess this is one of those times where you don't need to explain that it's out of a plane window, but I just did.
Yeah.
So I have taken a few of these photos throughout my flying times, and none of them look this good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I've tried too, and I've never had a good one, but this one's really good, and partly just the way the clouds line up below looks great, and then just the color contrast in behind the wing, that looks great. So this is really, really good for this kind of photo.
This could be the cover of Up in the Air 2, starring Clooney.
Sure,
this does. It looks like some of the aerial shots from that, like with the cloud cover and like the flat land. So, so he's returning from South Texas. I'm assuming he's flying across the flat part of the country, based on what I'm looking at. I kind of thought the Rockies would be much more rockier.
Sure,
that John Denver's full. Anyways, so yes, it looks really cool. Those clouds kind of lining up like that. All around looks very, very cool.
Yep.
All right, next up, this one's my favorite. Favorite for the, and I thought maybe yours too, due to the subject matter, but this is my favorite for this month. Paul Henman, Raptors Parade, downtown Toronto.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
This is awesome. Yeah. This is awesome, and it really looks good in black and white. This would be something you would think you'd shoot in color, because obviously there's going to be a variety of color down there, unless everyone's wearing the Raptors shirts, which could be, what color would they wear, blue?
They were wearing red.
Okay, so there you go, but black and white really makes this thing, and just seeing the vehicles just engulfed by people looks really cool, and this angle, the shooting down, looks fantastic.
Yeah, he was probably one of the people on the highway overpass with his car pulled over so he could take photos.
It looks like a building. If you look at the bottom right-hand corner, this looks like, is that not a building?
No, I was just I think you're probably right. I was just making that comment because that was the big thing. People were stopping traffic for miles because they just pulled their car over off the highway.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Good job, though. I like it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's three more left this month, but so I'm going to give that the win for me.
Okay.
All right, next up, Jeff Murray Photos. This is Travel Wisconsin, he's saying. Also really cool. I like this one, the old mill. How do we have an old mill if we can't, how do we call it the old mill if we don't have an old mill?
That's a good question.
Great. I butchered that line, but if you haven't seen the movie State in Maine, a David Mamet movie from, I think, I'm going to say 2000, check it out. That's a line from that. How do we call it the old mill? Great cast, fantastic movie, love it, check it out.
Okay,
this photo also good. I like what's going on. I like that there's just enough blur on the water coming over to show movement, and while everything else is sharp, I think it works very well in black and white.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, carry on. All right, two more, let's power through. Mark's Berry. And now I'm fascinated by why he has two first names. That's it. I can't even look at the photo anymore. Now I want to know what the names.
No, like Barry is a last name.
Yeah. Or I'm sure it's Barry Marks. Yeah. Unless it's possessive. Like this is Marks Berry.
Marks Berry Farm.
If it's possessive, it'd be your Christmas card. So hello. All right, back. So Henry. Yeah, that's a deep pull. Henry finds a way to win any water fight using a fireman's hose. That should be possessive. Okay. 50 mil F28 1/1000 at 100. I have no issue with this photo.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Henry's clearly going to win the water fight.
Yep.
all around, very competent. I'm not going to see this winning any awards. I'm not going to complain about it either. How would you make it better?
I'm not sure.
Have him shoot the water gun.
Oh, right at the camera.
No, don't do that.
That's how it'd be better.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Last up is Tyler Wayne Photography. And this is the one that I found through his page. And you can see he clearly hashtags it to Hosers Monthly Challenge and hashtag Hey Hosers. And it did not show up in the search. So I don't know why. If anyone knows why, let me know. If you have a look at this photo and say, oh, yeah, well, it's privacy settings. Or I don't follow him, obviously. It says it's begging me to follow him. I don't. So it's not a privacy thing. I don't know. There you go. Okay, so this photo, black and white, go.
I don't know what to say here.
Okay, like at all, because what?
I'm not sure. Is it black and white?
It looks black and white with a hint of sepia, possibly. I don't know. Don't ask the colorblind. Ask the colorblind guy. That's a great idea.
I'm just kind of perplexed by it. I mean, the is it about the tattoo? Is it about the girl? The pose is just odd to me. I don't know. I'm confused and perplexed by this photo.
Well, we don't have to worry about finding his photos anymore. He's not posting again after that. Yeah. Good job, Adam. You solved that problem.
I'm just trying to be honest. I'm confused by this.
I think it's nice. I think it's a good subject. I think there's a lot going on. She happens to have a lot of tattoos. But overall, you know, I think it's nicely evenly lit. The background's sufficiently out of focus. Again, I can't complain about this photo. But it's not exactly the Raptors parade.
No, it's no Raptors parade.
There you go. All right. Woo. That was a lot this month. Let's have a look at ours now. Okay. You want to go first? How about you go first?
Sure. This is the longest episode of all time, I think.
Yep. Indeed.
Okay. All right. So let's go first. Mine is my kid hitting a ball in baseball from Tuesday, I think this was. I took a bunch of photos. Sometimes I try to get everything in the frame. Sometimes I zoom in and just try to get a close-up of the kid and his swing. I often try to include the catcher, the umpire, but I started taking a few photos where I would just take the hitter and oftentimes just take it at point of contact or just before point of contact. But I took this one after contact and just I really liked it. I really liked the angles here, the bat, the sort of follow-through. You know, his ankle starting to roll over. And this is a photo where a lot of times there isn't enough contrast where I'm shooting for a black and white photo to really stand out. But just based on the angle and based on the colors that the people in the background were wearing, I was really able to make it so that he popped from the background. So sometimes that's just luck and time of day, light, all those things factor in, because in the where the light's falling here, it's evening light. And just based on the field and the angles here, there's no light hitting that fence, and so all the situation presented itself for a black and white photo.
And that with the white pants really make it pop.
And his face, yeah. I got just enough of his face because he's a left-handed hitter, and so I'm shooting from just behind first base, and so oftentimes like I'd rather be on third base in order to shoot a left-handed hitter, but. Because of the fall through and where his head goes, this is just one of those times where, okay, that's where I want to shoot a left-handed hitter's swing is so that as their head's coming around, he's watching the ball as he hit it. It just everything lined up. And so, yeah, I really like this one. And then he has a shirt of Aaron Judge hitting a home run, and his pose looks very much like this. And so I showed Jack, I'm like, hey, this is like your Aaron Judge shirt. Like he's in Judge's finish, like his ankle's completely rolled over on his lead foot. And so it's just, he's gotten every possible part of his body into this swing. And for Jack, this is pretty much every possible part of his body into this swing. And just we call that the fartsy face, the face he's making.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, that's
I thought, I mean, aside from the fact that he looks like Uncle Leo when he had to paint his eyebrows on that one time. Not counting that, this is really good. Now, we talked about it last week. First of all, I love the shoes. I have the same shoes as him. I have the low riders, though. I don't go whatever he has, the three quarters. Big fan of those shoes. Very light. Swing looks pretty good. Like I said last week, he's collapsing backwards a little bit.
A little bit. He even said that when I showed him this picture. He's like, I'm leaning back too far. I'm like, yep, a little bit.
Little bit, but so I posted something similar that I happen to see now. Again, like you said, you compared him to Judge, who's a right-handed hitter, and I also compared a right-handed hitter. I like to compare lefties with lefties just for obvious reasons. But there's an image I remember of this guy I maybe never heard of named Joe DiMaggio. So I put that in there. You can see he's a very similar pose to your son, except he is a little bit more upright. He's still leaning back a little bit more than I would even think. But you can see it's very, very similar. But so if your son kind of straightens up a little bit, next thing you know, he's Jolting Joe. Probably okay. Marry Marilyn Monroe.
All right, I'll let him know that
he is getting a little more extension. Look at the extension he's getting, and look at what he's getting. His hips have gone right through to his wrists. And lastly, look where those other photographers are standing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's always pretty funny. That means there's a couple standing on either side of the plate at this point. I don't know if this is an actual game or this was maybe like a home run contest or something with a catcher in behind, but either way, it looks good. And so it's very similar to your son, but also DiMaggio's fartsy face looks cooler.
Yeah. And he's the best hitter of all time. So, yeah.
I disagree. Probably best all-around baseball player, but...
Ted Williams.
Not that, but he does have the one record that will never be caught. I don't think anyone's going to get 56 games in a row. Just not every other record I think is possible. 40 hitting 400, hitting 406. Well, no, it's not true. No one's going to hit 438. That's not going to happen.
Jack has a 3-game hitting streak.
Okay, well, 53 more to go. Yeah, good luck to you.
But sometimes he only gets one at bat, so.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive then.
Yeah. So if he actually got 56 games, it would take probably about 3 years too.
At least. Okay. So have a look at mine. Are we seriously this long into the show? Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. No, for real, we are.
Awesome. All right. So here's a look at mine. Here's my son going off the diving board. And this, I had some sort of a diving board thing in mind because, as I mentioned before, I spend a lot of time at the Frybod. Whenever I'm not at the Frybod, I'm recording super long podcasts. That's the breakdown in my schedule. And so I wanted to get something kind of original. We've seen shots of him going off the diving board, and I said, you know what? I want to get one of him coming right at me in the pool. So I took him to the pool a couple days ago or last week sometime. Took my 40D, the 30 mil, the AKA the disposable camera that will not die. And I just went in. I went in and I actually, it's a ways, you gotta swim out a little bit, little ways from the edge of the pool to get to this spot. And it's like 4 meters deep, so there's no touching, obviously. And so I have to actually tread water with my DSLR in my hand. No waterproofing whatsoever. And so I did that. That's what I did. I ended up there and fired these off.
Cool.
Well, this is one. I fired off a bunch. This is the one I chose. What are your thoughts on it?
I like it. Just, again, because he's up high enough that he really gets good separation. You know, you just have the sky as the background. And clearly, you know what's going on because you can see enough of the diving board. And he's got good rim light on him from where the sun is hitting him. So, yeah, this works really well as a black and white.
It does. My one sort of complaint about it is time of day. This would have been much better. The way the sun sets, I would have much rather take this in the morning so it would have been crisper contrast, black and white. Like he would have been lit a little bit more. Like the sun is behind him. I'm not, you know, it's fine. So I posted a couple of other photos I took from the exact same day from different angles, which you get. So there he is doing a cannonball, the black and white cannonball. Which was, I'm not saying it's a runner-up, I'm just saying like that's from a more traditional angle.
Yeah, which I don't and I like as much, no.
I like the contrast better. I like the way it all, everything around him pops, but the photo's not as interesting.
Right, just like, because of the background is like, it's too muddled.
Yeah, it's exactly too much going on. And then there's a color one of him doing a different cannonball, which
that one's
I actually like better.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, but I included it in color just because I happen to like it in color. But these are all taken around the same time, like within 5 minutes of each other. So the sun is the same. That is probably an angle I would typically take the photo at, except for, again, I happen to really like the action of him jumping right into me. Like that stands out. I don't think anybody else in Tubingen has a picture like that, because no one's going to go in. Maybe now with the waterproof cameras, but even then, not with the DSLR, you're going to go in with your GoPro, and it's not going to look the same. So the camera did get heavily splashed, but it survived yet again. So there we are. All right, that's the challenge for June. Next month's challenge, golden.
Okay.
I'm anticipating some golden sunshine. But if you don't have it, you can find some. Maybe you're going to Willy Wonka's. You got the golden ticket. Photograph that. I don't care.
Okay.
Challenge is golden. Challenge, and then hashtag that to Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers, or evidently maybe tag us in it. Maybe tag at to Hosers, and to make sure we see it, because obviously something's going on with the hashtag system. So hashtag and tagging, two separate things. Adam doesn't care about it, but I'll bet other people know how to do that. So if you do tag us, we will definitely see it. Or maybe see it. I don't know. Challenge next week, Adam. I've got one, unless you can do better.
Okay, go ahead. I can't do better.
Lens flare.
Okay.
It's that time of year, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. And you don't care. All right, so we'll do that for next week, is lens flare. All right, now, generally at this time, I think we give out our websites, but I wrote a typo and said websotes, so just give out your websote.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Good. Mine's AlanAtridge.com, two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything, and I mean everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.